Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We made it to draft day. Good morning, 97-1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Jeremy Otto on the updates. Roadmap for today. Draft, more draft, plenty of Pistons basketball, massive game tonight at Little Caesars Arena. We've got the two Grand Slam and a Thursday edition of the Cookie Jar. With AJ Hinch moving around this week, we're doing the Cookie Jar today, AJ tomorrow.
Are we going to talk about the first place Tigers at all?
And you didn't want to see Reese Olsen throw.
I know. What a gem. What an absolute gem. 7 strikeouts, 2 hits, 1 walk, and in 7 1/3 innings, the dude only threw 85 pitches. It was awesome.
That's the worst starter on the team, by the numbers.
By the numbers, yes.
And could have fooled me.
It's funny you say by the numbers, because I want to find this real quick in regards to the Tigers starting five ERA right now.
Present it.
Tarek Skubal, 2.83, reigning Cy Young winner. Jack Flaherty gets a little better, 2.63. Reese Olsen, as you mentioned, the worst of the five. And I hate saying the worst of the five, but...
Someone has to be.
Somebody has to be. 3.29 ERA. Casey Mize, best of the five. 2.2. And Jackson Job at 2.7.
In a rookie season.
It's shaping up to be a special group.
Team ERA is 2.94. It's the best in the American League. The Tigers are the best team in the American League by record. Those two things go hand in hand. You don't have prolonged losing stretches. The old Leland quote was, momentum's only as good as the next day starting pitcher. Well, the Tigers can really build some momentum and win series, which they keep doing, even against the Padres, who are the best team in all of baseball. So as good as we thought this team was, they're better.
Yeah.
And it's because of this starting rotation.
If they win 2 of 3, let's just say they keep winning these series, 2 of 3. And I know there was a series of 4 against Kansas City. They won 3 of 4. That would put them at 108 wins. Now, I'm not predicting.
Are you doing the triple-digit disco today?
No. That's not what I'm saying, because we also know that they got swept by the Dodgers. What I'm saying is, as I look to the bus that I'm driving.
Yeah. Oh, but you see Valeni's on that, by the way.
Oh, did he join the John Jansen bus?
So what happened is they came on after Tiger Baseball, and Mike had this very profound, guys, I want to tell you something about this baseball team. Guys, I think they're a 90-win team.
Oh, he hopped up.
And I'm thinking,
did he
buddy.
Pull the Rico? Yeah. What's that?
Yes.
I don't understand the drop.
No, I was trying to play the butt. This is supposed to be bus honk.
Oh, yeah. That's not.
That is not bus honk.
That's awful.
Sorry. Sorry, we didn't need double John there.
No.
No, but the idea is everybody's buying in.
I was listening to it going, my lips aren't moving.
I looked over at you. I was like, what did I just do? But everybody's buying in. You're right. And 90 wins feels very real for this baseball team.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they have not won 90 games often in their existence. So if you think we're selling them short, 90 is a big deal. 90 wins the division. 90 gets you in the playoffs. And with this rotation, dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blank as we go here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to do a grand proclamation, but man, are they fun.
Are you getting on the bus?
I said I wanted to wait till the end of the month, but I kind of feel like I need to get on the bus now.
Yeah. I mean, the bus is loaded up.
The door, you hear the sound effect of the doors closing. Yeah. You're like, oh, no, don't leave without me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to walk to school.
Backing up, getting on the highway.
Bill in New Baltimore, you've called in early here. You got thoughts on this staff. What's up?
Yeah, you guys mentioned Olsen like being, you know, the worst of the five. I was listening to Pat Caputo last night. He said that, you know, our 4 and 5 would probably be a 2 and 3 on most other teams. And it's true. I believe that. This pitching staff is incredible this year so far.
Right. And the thing is, along the way, someone's going to run into a tough stretch.
Yeah.
But you've got exactly. So many quality arms. Well, yeah.
Right. Yeah, the team will, the hitters will. But the way they're hitting now, it seems like someone's always there to pick the team up if that happens.
Good example is yesterday's game. You have a flawless outing by your starter. You still need a couple clutch hits, and it's Justin Henry Molloy, who had zero home runs on the season coming in. Yeah. It's Gleyber Torres, who had missed some time and only had one home run. And it's Dylan Dingler, who I'll keep referring to as the backup catcher because that's what he was when the season started. But what he's doing right now is nothing short of spectacular to step in and manage this pitching staff, play almost every day, and contribute the way he does at the plate. I mean, these are contributions we were not banking on when the season started.
No, we weren't. And even though Spencer Torkelson hasn't had the production in the Padres series, he's had some good at-bats. He's had some good swings. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, well, this is the, you know, Spencer Torkelson is not finding it anymore. No, he has had great contact. A lot of it has been just right at guys. And it's been the same with so many other players where some of them are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's baseball, right? You make good contact, but you hit it right at somebody, it doesn't matter. It's an out.
Ticket Texter says the pitching staff right now reminds me of the 90s Braves, Larry and Monroe. You got Glavin and Maddox and Smoltz.
Yeah.
That's
high praise. And we're at that part of the season, too, 25 games in, where you have to say, okay, yeah, best staff in Major League Baseball for now.
For now.
Well, because one, we don't know what injuries may or may not happen. It's only 25 games in the start of 162.
But I would stress that I think this is real. Skubal, you mentioned it, Cy Young winner. Flaherty, he was an ace when he pitched here in Detroit last year. It looks like he's right back into that form. Casey Mize was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And the more I've watched him, the more I've read about him, the more I've listened to people talk about him, he's got the right mentality right now. He bulked up. He's got a stronger frame. He's throwing the splitter harder, which he says just, I don't care what the numbers say. I know that's going to be a harder pitch to hit, and the batters are giving me that feedback. I think it's real with Casey Mize. With Job, I don't know if it's real just because it's so
new.
It's
going to be a roller coaster.
But he's got the stuff to where there will be outings that he looks dazzling. And then Reese Olson, I don't think should be an aftermath guy in all of this. I mean, he was a big pitcher for them last year down the stretch. And he should only be getting better now that he's got his feet under him.
Yeah. I think he got his driver's license over the weekend, too.
Yes. Well, his learner's permit last year. But yeah, he can drive. Ticket Texter says, can we just enjoy the games without doing win totals? Just enjoy the games.
Okay. Yes.
Thanks, guy. Did we ruin the enjoyment by saying we think this team could win 90-plus?
No. I mean, there was a conversation we started last week. I'm just glad there are other people that are getting on the bus.
Perfect.
You're welcome anytime.
248-539-9797. Mentioning a lot of draft stuff today. Yesterday, Kirby Joseph gets his extension. We had forecasted this.
Yes.
This is becoming a tradition. Brad Holmes pays his guys the day before the draft.
Mm-hmm. And next year, the day before the draft is going to be Brian Branch.
Yeah, probably. So they're going to have two high-paid safeties. So the headline is, Kirby Joseph's the highest paid safety in football for now.
Right. Yes. And yeah, the only one, the next one that might break that record might be already on the roster for the Detroit Lions.
4 years, $86 million, 21 plus per season. Huge deal. And he's backed it up with his play. He has the most interceptions in the league since he was drafted. This was not a first round or even a second round pick. Brad Holmes found him in the third. And he rewards his own guys who perform and deliver. There is a question, if you can't pay everybody, who will this squeeze out? I'm sure you've already started thinking about that.
Oh, sure. I mean, we had that conversation yesterday. We had six guys. Who do you keep? You can only keep three of them. And I don't think any of us had Kirby Joseph on our bingo card. And now he is, of those six, he's right at the middle of that bingo card because he's going to be here. And so now it's, what do you do with Gibbs, Laporta, Branch, J-Mo? And I think we all think J-Mo is going to be the easy answer, odd man out.
Yeah.
But it'll be curious as to what they do with him. Pick up the fifth-year option, or do they try and maximize his 1,000-yard season and get some capital for him now? Do they do that and pick up the fifth-year option and do that before next season? I really don't want to go into the season without J-Mo on the roster. I think this is a year where he could be that important with a new OC. You've got to make sure that you keep everything as constant and as dynamic as you possibly can for Jared Goff. But moving forward, he's certainly going to be a guy where you're like, okay, yeah, sorry, can't pay everyone.
You don't want to take a step back in 2025. And I think there's a lot of people forecasting. You look at their win totals or the changing coordinators or the tougher schedule. You want to put your best team on the field because you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. If they were to trade J-Mo tonight or this offseason, I don't know that you're a better team in 2025, and that would be troublesome. You only get so many cracks at this with this current core, and they can extend them and keep them as long as they want, but there is an expiration date on NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
I want to win while I got these guys right now. 248-539-9797. We'll talk more about the NFL draft. We got the two grand slam in the 7 o'clock hour. 6:35, Pistons, true or false tonight, decides the series. Big game three at LCA. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys, it's Heather, and if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead and take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
More than enough. Shut out the Padres. 6-0 win for the Tigers. Pitching staff continues to headline. Mm-hmm. Reese Olson was dazzling. And they have the best ERA in the American League, the best team in the American League. And if you beat the best team in the National League 2 out of 3, you start to feel like you're the best team in all of baseball, which is when we start pumping the brakes and remind people that it is still April, but we're excited about our baseball team.
It's okay to be excited. It's okay to go through that entire exercise and come out thinking, yeah, right now we may have one of the top three teams in baseball.
Contender for it all.
It's a good thing those position players weren't blocked and they developed.
You want to do a Scott Harris victory lap in April? Is that what we're doing?
No, I'm trying to egg you on a little bit.
I know you are. Texter wants to know what happens with Cobb. People were critical of that. Signing $15 million, what's going to happen when he's healthy? I think it's a good luxury to have arms. Do I think $15 million is a bit of an overpay for Cobb? Sure, but the reality is they're going to need arms to get through 162 games. Like, do they scale back Job at some point in the summer? Instead of Montero coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. Is it Montero or is it Cobb or is it Job? Do they give him, like, because you don't want to get too far out of rhythm and you don't want to miss or mess with the rhythm that your top guys that aren't going to be in question of what do you do with Cobb? You don't want to give or get Skubal out of rhythm or Flaherty or heck, Olson right now. Like, he was so good yesterday.
No, he was. That was Ron and Trenton who wanted to know about Alex Cobb. I think he'll slot in as a buffer for this team.
Yeah.
Or if someone gets hurt, a rotation piece.
Right.
Texter says, I think you have to trade J-Mo. Even he knows he's not getting paid here. He's shown plenty of immaturity. He could become a bigger problem. I expect a second, but maybe you could convince crazy Jerry Jones that he'd look good in Dallas. He did lose his mind and trade a first for Roy Williams.
There is always going to be a decent market for a dynamic wide receiver. He's certainly dynamic. He's got a skill set that's very rare. So, yes, that is always going to be on the table. The problem is, even though there's a market, like we've seen positional players, edge guys and whatnot that have gone for a fifth round pick, a sixth round pick, that's not getting value for Jameson Williams. If you're going to get value, honestly, if you're going to call on J-Mo, it's got to be a second.
Minimum.
Or I'm not talking about it.
Yeah, minimum. And I still have to believe I can get a receiver.
But I don't know that's real. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think anybody calls up and offers a second. So
look, if Jerry Jones wants to offer a first, get the deal done. But I have to know I'm getting another speed receiver in the process here. Because I can't just lose J-Mo for draft capital. And draft capital is not going to win the Super Bowl. You have to know you can replace it with quality football players.
Well, I mean, he's got the best safety in the league. You got him at three. One of the best wide receivers got him in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the problem?
No problems, John. Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Doing just peachy, as you can see, scrambling. Sitting in an awkward
position.
I'm
so disappointed.
Why?
Well, because we've got the lieutenant governor here today. And no, it's not Gilchrist. It's Sam.
I know.
Has joined us today. And I thought maybe Emily would join us as well.
Really? Can you imagine bringing Teddy? It's the same as that. Like, what would she do?
Boys are different than girls. Teddy would be a complete disaster. I think in my experience of raising both, like, you could bring in a toddler girl.
I would have had to bring all sorts of toys. It would have been fun. It will be fun when she's older, right? Like, I think it will. Or if Colin had the day off, if he could just bring both of them in to stop by and like see where mommy works, that'd be cool. But
yeah,
she's three.
So my son Sam is here today.
Yeah,
bring
that's
your
awesome.
Kid to work day, and it's draft day, so he's super excited about that. But I told you yesterday he could have helped you with Emily and Brooks. He's very good and can play with little
kids. He would have had fun with Emily. Brooks is like he would have been like, he's climbing on that desk. He's about to jump off. I think he might hurt himself.
Uh-huh. Well, like when most of like 11-year-olds would watch a kid, once things start, you know, havoc breaks out. He's not babysitter age yet.
Uh-huh.
So he would have the good time and then come get you in there.
Exactly. I would never be in the studio. That's the problem. Uh-huh. Anyway, here's the news, you guys. The Lions will be kicking off the 2025 NFL season facing the Los Angeles Chargers in the Hall of Fame game.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool. So the game will take place in Canton, Ohio on July 31st. It will be aired at 8 p.m. on NBC and Peacock. And this is the first time the Lions will be participating in the game since 1991.
It's cool for us from a player's perspective, not cool. It's an extra preseason game. It's an extra week of practice. But for us, it's an extra preseason game and it's an extra week of practice. Everything starts a week earlier.
You know who the happiest person to hear this news is?
Who?
Jamar and Westland.
Yes.
Hendon Hooker
More
preseason.
Hendon Hooker.
Yes.
Yes. And honestly, for him, This is a great opportunity.
It is.
It's another preseason game. I played in the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so it was a one preseason game season for me because it's the one I tore my Achilles in.
Oh.
Done. So, yes, I doubt we see. In fact, I doubt. I know we won't see any starters in that game.
Don't even let them look at the field.
No.
A 57-year-old man from Livonia is facing charges for allegedly helping his wife run a human trafficking ring. What a couple, right? Paul Catterman was arrested.
Working together.
Yeah, April 22nd, and he's been charged with two counts of human trafficking, keeping a house of prostitution, conducting a criminal enterprise, and failing to file taxes. His wife...
Failing to file taxes? Yes, they throw that one in there.
Throw criminal mischief in there, too. Come on. His wife had already been charged in March, and now, according to authorities, this husband and wife duo, they say they've been running this human trafficking operation through... these illicit massage parlors all over Commerce, Farmington Hills, Westland. And they say they were trafficking women where they were forcing these women to live and work under just really harsh conditions and very, very little pay. So if found guilty, the couple faces the possibility of decades in prison and more than $100,000 in fines. Some great news to report. That missing Dearborn Heights teen that had been missing since March 17th, Tayshia Keaton has been found safe. So very good news. The 16-year-old was found in an older man's apartment at Warren and Inkster, 62-year-old man. According to Dearborn Heights police, he was taken into custody. They haven't released a whole lot of information, but they do plan to hold a press conference later today.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah. But I'm glad she's found safe. Yes. Right? That's very important.
I'm sure traumatic, but yes, at least safe.
Walmart plans to remodel 14 stores across Michigan this year, adding some new displays and signs. They're going to expand online pickup and delivery areas. They're also going to change the pharmacies a little bit, have wider aisles, more private screening rooms. Some of the renovations will be completed as early as May, but others could take through the summer, maybe even later this year. And a Walmart spokesperson says that their stores often serve as the heartbeat of the communities that we operate in. And these remodels are a testament to their dedication to enhancing that role. So there's the most local Walmarts that we'll see changes are in is in Shelby Township, Southgate, and Livonia.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, there's more time. I got more.
Time for one more.
Okay, so People Magazine, usually we usually talk about when they unveil the sexiest man alive, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they do more than just unveil that. They also choose the world's most beautiful person.
Oh, the world's most beautiful
person. Yes, you want to know who it is this year?
How is that different than the sexiest man alive?
Because it could be a female, John.
Right, so it would be the sexiest woman alive.
But it could also be a man.
But then that would already be announced.
It could be anybody. Right. It's just based on what's inside, right?
So this is not a person who is attractive? Right.
No, yeah. It is. She's very attractive. Yeah,
this one has a great personality.
No. It is also about looks because she's very attractive.
It's Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Right, yes.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. I'm just trying to explain that it could be a female, or maybe it could have been another man. Who knows? This year, though, the world's most beautiful person is Demi Moore.
Okay. Sure. What's she done?
I don't know.
Why this year and not last year? I'm always fascinated by that. Because someone is the sexiest man one year, but then they lose the crown very next year.
They do, because she just got sexy this year. That's why.
Apparently, but she might lose it.
She could lose it next year, but right now this is her year. She's living it.
Yeah, this is it.
She's peaked at 62 years old. And she told the magazine a little bit about how she is, her mental, not health, but how she's changed mentally through the years, and how back in the day she used to basically, she used the word torture herself to stay in shape, to look a certain way. And now as she has gotten older, she has learned to be more relaxed and have a better relationship with her body.
So, a little more accepting of herself.
Yes.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And that's Heather with the news. And that's John with some condescension. And we're going to talk Pistons basketball next. It's 97.1. Less than an hour away, we got the two Grand Slam, 725, a chance to win $2,000 with us this morning. Later tonight, the NFL Draft. Later tonight, Pistons playoff basketball in the city of Detroit.
All right.
How about that?
It's here.
Huge game. Would you go as far as to say the winner of tonight wins the series?
I think so. I really do. I think it sets a tone because I know that series is tied 1-1. That's the facts. The other facts are the players know what's happened on the court. They have that feeling of the Pistons players having won 7 of the 8 quarters, only 1 of the 2 games, but 7 of the 8 quarters. They learned a lot from that first game. It showed when they took the court Monday night. It showed when they got to the fourth quarter Monday night. They could have let that slip away just like they did on Saturday. They didn't let that happen. They learned their lesson. It doesn't mean you can't make new mistakes, but at least they didn't make the same mistake. Now I think if they go into this game at home and control it for 4 quarters, New York is going to be reeling.
Knicks are in trouble before the game starts. If the Pistons win this game at home and grab a 2-1 series lead, it's over.
You could say all you want. That was pretty bold.
Was it?
It's just over.
Well, you said the same thing. I just said the same thing you said. Now I'm going to get villainized if they blow this, but like I really think, John, they were going to win the series when we started this whole deal.
So did I. I thought in 6, games. You thought in 7.
Yeah, I've thought through 2 games they've been the better basketball team, and if they confirm it for a 3rd straight game and carry that momentum back home, because here's the other key, John. I think tonight's game is going to be poorly officiated. I'm just going to put that out there. If they win a poorly officiated makeup game where Brunson's getting all the calls from the first quarter to the fourth quarter and the Pistons still win the game, you got no more bullets in the chamber. The Knicks are in super, like they're in mega trouble at that point, John.
I don't necessarily know what's going to be poorly officiated because there were a lot of people that called out Thibodeau or at least recognized, hey, you could say this after the game before you know what the actual numbers are. But when you take a look at the numbers, you take a look at the fouls, you take a look at the free throws, you take a look at all of it. And on top of that, the way that Jalen Brunson plays, it's no secret around the NBA that he is foul hunting.
Yes.
And I just don't believe, I got to give a little bit more credit to one, the NBA, but also officials that they're not going to succumb to a false narrative.
But we see when a coach goes out and crows publicly and we make fun of him, there is
an
overcorrection.
I don't think Brunson is an elite level star. Like if you hear it from the Lakers, right, and it's Luka or it's LeBron, then all of a sudden, I could see that being, but I don't think Brunson's on that level.
So we'll open up the phone lines. True or false, winner of tonight wins a series. And then more specifically, what are the keys to this game? The things that will decide who wins game 3 at Little Caesars Arena.
I think the Pistons has to keep doing what they've been doing. We heard it from JB when we opened the show. He's not upset with the officiating. Hey, we desire a physical brand of basketball. So bring it on.
One thing to watch, Isaiah Stewart, will he play? Knee inflammation, questionable, heart and soul, interior defense. The Knicks don't shoot a lot of threes. If you can win at the rim, it's a big deal. If this game turns into a foul fest where the Pistons are throwing their hands up, you got to keep your composure. And I think an interesting wrinkle for JB Bickerstaff might be throwing Ron Holland out there on Brunson for a stretch and go, we don't need this guy to play 20 minutes.
We just need 6 fouls.
Use your 6 fouls. Hound this dude.
Yeah.
I don't need a Sar Thompson to foul out. So if that means I got to throw Ron Holland on him for 6 minutes in the second quarter, so be it. We're going to make Brunson. And then the other thing is make Brunson work on defense. I know they've been doing it, but I would be deliberate about it. Hunt him. Who's he on? When you're in the half court, try to get the switch. Try to punish Brunson. Make him move his feet. Make him work hard because it might mean he doesn't have the step later in the game. I expect Karl Anthony Towns to be more involved. He was a ghost in the second half of that game in game 2. You're going to have to withstand him because I think he's got the edge when he goes down low on Tobias Harris. But that's why if Isaiah Stewart's in there and Jalen Duren's playing, you can throw bodies at him. I think those are some keys for tonight.
Yeah, and if Stewart's there, it's another body. I think you continue to use Paul Reed as such, 8, 9, 10, he had 11 minutes the other night. Ron Holland, to your point, a few more minutes, you get a few more fouls. Dennis Schroeder, I love the way that he has added to this team, the minutes that he provides this team. Now, I think one of the keys, Malik Beasley is going to have to shoot better. And I don't think, I only say that because he didn't shoot well for one night. I don't think it's a trend. I don't think it's what he's going to be, but he does need to be better than 1 of 8 behind the arc.
And Hardaway Jr. was 0 of 6 from behind the arc. If you get one of those guys, and Beasley the more likely of the two, he's the better knockdown shooter. One of those guys emerges, and the Pistons are going to be in a driver's seat position in this game tonight. Because if those shots are falling, instead of having that 10, 11, 12, 13-point lead, you could try to blow the doors off. Like, that is the other thing. That is possible tonight. Coming home, knocking down shots, the Knicks not having the crowd at their back for the fourth quarter to try to claw back. I mean, is there a world where the Pistons win this game without, you know, those tense moments in the final 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I think that's in play.
So I think there's one thing I would desperately love to see, and I'll get to that in a moment. But it's on JB as well. One, how are you preparing the guys with these off days? You're playing at home. How do you get them to control their emotions, but yet still come out with that fire in their belly to, you know, pick up where they left off? But it's also going to be him utilizing the bench. And it's not just, you know, hey, let's get some more minutes for Ron Howland. It's how, when, and how. Because we've talked about it throughout the series. We talked about it going into the series. The Knicks don't utilize their bench. They have played the most, their stars have played the most minutes of anybody in the NBA. You get to the fourth quarter and it will wear on them. It felt like it wore on them on Monday night. Now, the one thing that I would love to see is, because Jalen Brunson had 5 fouls on Monday.
I didn't even realize it. That's sneaky. I didn't even realize.
He gets that 6th.
Oh, there's.
And I want every Detroit Piston to hold up 5 fingers and 1 thumb. Whoever that 6th foul would come against, please hold up 6. Please.
Yes.
That would be unbelievable.
248-539-9797.
LCA would go nuts.
There's so many little things that beyond like the X's and O's and the matchups and the X factors. There's so much more about this game because of the crowd. Mm-hmm. Because of the thundersticks and the whatever the special intros are going to be tonight. This should be a raucous environment at Little Caesars Arena. This is the biggest Pistons game they've played since 2008. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game since 2008. They've never been in this position to take control and win a series the way a win tonight would put them in that position.
So I think you're right about tonight and blowing off the doors and the energy and the crowd and all that. That's all great. This could be a moment for the Pistons. None of that matters on Sunday. And so your true or false of the series is over if they win tonight? I don't believe that. I've thought all along this thing would be 2-2 and that the Pistons would win tonight for the reasons you said. And then Sunday doesn't set up well for them. You will not match that same environment Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So all that goes away, and guess who's back is against the wall? The Knicks.
Yep.
So I just think I think we fall into this trap in sports of just thinking the home team's gonna win. Winning on the road in sports has never been easier in my mind.
Can we point out a couple things about the Knicks, though? Backs against the wall. If this was the Celtics or the Cavaliers, if this was OKC, okay, fine. They're going to rally. Do I think the Knicks are going to rally when their back's against the wall? Part of the case all along has been they're not that good.
I agree with you on that, but the games are a grind, and it seems like this is just a series when whoever's back is against the wall, that's the team that responds, you know? And it's just going to keep... That's why I thought this would be a slugfest. I am not surprised at all how this thing's going. Officiating will matter tonight. I was kind of surprised Thibodeau planted the seed for this game. I thought it was a better play for him to, let's go to game 3, let's see if we can win, but we might have to take our medicine tonight considering they're young, this is new here, this is going to be an environment, and then you plant the seed after this game.
I felt like he didn't think he could wait.
It's a little desperate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a desperation move. There's no question about it. I think it's dripping in desperation.
248-539-9797. We got a game 3 tonight at Little Caesars Arena. We want to hear from you guys on the phones in the ticket text. What does this game come down to? And does the winner of this game win the series? It's 97.1.
At First Merchants Bank, they believe that real value comes from building strong communities and relationships in those communities. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking an absolute breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They take the time to get to know you, give you sound advice, and provide solutions that work specifically for you. In fact, that's exactly what they've done for me over the years, for me and my family, and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. Visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Piling on, a 6-0 win for the Tigers. They beat the Padres. Off day today, but there's a lot going on. Heather Offair says, so when does all this madness begin?
Yeah.
When do I lose Colin?
That's exactly what I wanted to know. It really wasn't when it began, but when, like, am I going to lose Colin to the TV? Like, when is he...
checked out.
Yeah, exactly.
He's present, but not present.
Yeah.
Pistons, Knicks start at 7.
Okay.
NFL draft at 8. Lions will pick probably right around 11, a little later maybe.
Yeah, that's 11, perfect. 11:30. Yeah, kids will be in bed.
I'll be fast asleep.
We're going to talk a lot about the draft in the 7 o'clock hour. We're talking Pistons right now. We got open lines. We want to know about tonight's game and what it comes down to. Because the Pistons, if they win, are up 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Driver's seat. Series over? Question mark. John, you said, yeah, winner tonight wins the series.
Yeah.
I think if the Pistons win tonight, they win the series. If the Pistons lose tonight, they still have the game at home to even things up and drag this out to 7 games.
I felt like, and I said this, Monday night was a must win for the Pistons. If they went down 0-2, I thought, there's no chance. I kind of feel this way for the Knicks. This is a must win. If they do, it doesn't... I think the circumstances and consequences are higher for the Knicks right now than they are for the Pistons. The Pistons lose this one. I don't think that this series is over. The Knicks do, and I think it's the first nail in the coffin.
Yeah, paint a picture. The Pistons win. Again, this hypothetical, people get mad at us for proclaiming things. Pistons win tonight, hypothetically. You're up 2-1. Isaiah Stewart's getting healthier. You got game 4 at home. You feel great. You've outplayed them through 3. You feel great about winning game 4. At some point, the Knicks are going to fold here. And if you go back to New York and this is a series where they're facing elimination, that's not a crowd that's going to help the team.
Right.
It's a crowd that's going to hurt the team.
Yeah, if they go back down 3-1.
Even 2-2. Like, what are you doing messing around with this 14-win Pistons team? Like, that's how they view us, right? Oh, we're a cute little Caesars Arena. I think the Pistons have shown enough in this series to feel confident in them, but ticket texters get upset with, weirdly, only me. Easy cookies, way too overconfident, let it play out. And good to know Jim is discoing after only 2 games. Now we have no shot. John is also hosting this show with me, saying the same things I'm saying.
Man, you disco every time that one of our local teams wins.
I get excited when we win, and I like when we win. And I get confident when we win.
So I did get hit, too, but it was had an expletive in it. So that's why
that
I didn't print it for you.
Well, I didn't know.
Is that why Sam's in here instead of in there?
Yes.
He's reading the screen.
So I read that same ticket text, and it was da-da-da-da, Tom. And I don't know if they were yelling at me, signed Tom, or if they're yelling at you, Tom, but I suppose people can clarify that if they want.
I think it was me. Because
you had the audacity to say the series is going to go on?
Yeah, I think it's very hard for a young team in this spot and their experience to win both these home games. I've seen it time and time again in the NBA. It's almost like the Pistons can have their coronation tonight, and everybody can gush and do all that, and then come against a veteran team on Sunday afternoon, I don't believe they'll be able to match that. That's how I thought the series. Why would I stray away from what I thought was going to happen to begin the series? I said Knicks in 7, a grind, a 51-49 opinion. Okay? So nothing's changed my mind yet. There's no chatter of disharmony coming out of the Knicks locker room, even though people want to say, oh, what's going on here? And it's 4 players standing around while one play, all this stuff, but you don't hear anything from them. If you hear stuff from them, then everything changes.
If the Pistons win both, then you'll believe?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
But I never thought they would.
Okay. I think get on the same page.
I thought this series was going to go back and forth, and there would never be much more than, you know, maybe somebody went two in a row, like the Pistons will, I think, tonight. Like, I think they'll win tonight. It's, mm-hmm. it's Sunday that I think presents the challenge.
How do you deal with success?
Yeah.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Texter says, Disco Jim, I love it. Brian and Canton, be very careful with that, Brian. Tread very lightly.
Yeah.
Things that this game comes down to, John. I mean, we've hit on a bunch of them. You mentioned Dennis Schroeder. Mm-hmm. He's the hero of game two. Hits the big shot in the fourth quarter. I thought it was noteworthy that they played him more in crunch time to help Cade Cunningham. And I don't say that to knock Cade. I think that's just a good, smart coaching adjustment that you take a little pressure off of him. You have more than one guy that can bring the ball up the floor, create his own shot. Schroeder can shoot when he doesn't have the ball. We saw that. And he's been in all these big games in his career. Do you like him in the crunch time lineup?
I do. And part of it is what we talked about on you know, leading into Saturday. The concern was the youth, the inexperience in playoffs. Dennis Schroeder has a lot of playoff experience. And that's part of the reason. Yes, he helps Cade. He can bring the ball up. He could, you know, save a little bit of energy for Cade, get him the ball in the half court. Now Cade can go do his thing. I just think there's a number of reasons why you're going to see more Dennis Schroeder throughout the playoffs.
What's the crunch time lineup? It's the final 5 minutes. It's a five-point game either way. Who are the five Pistons on the floor? Cade.
Oh, certainly Cade.
Schroeder.
I would think so. Malik Beasley.
Okay.
Jalen Duren.
Okay, and then who's the four? Is it Tobias? That means Asar Thompson's not out there.
No, I'd probably say Asar Thompson.
Okay. I like that if I'm the Knicks and Karl Anthony Towns. So that's the chess match.
Right. But again, it's a chess match.
Yeah.
But don't forget, they also have to match up with the Pistons.
Correct. Maybe it depends if you are up five versus down five. Because if I need Asar in the game, close things out. That's the flexibility that JB has, though. He can play the tenor of the game. What's the foul situation? Who do we need to close out? If Brunson's going nuclear, I don't know that I love anybody but Asar Thompson on him in the final couple minutes there.
Right.
And that might mean I have to pick between Beasley or Schroeder. Who's making their shots? Who's more composed? You can feel the game out. But the Pistons have a group of, that's six guys. If Stewart plays tonight or later in the series, seven guys. You start to build that group of seven or eight you need to win an NBA playoff series. Tim Hardaway Jr., if he can knock down a couple shots, that's your eight. Yeah.
I mean, that's another guy that you could throw in there.
And I throw Ron Holland in just for the past
Ron Holland,
minutes.
Paul Reed. Like, there are quality minutes. And you can have eight quality minutes from Paul Reed. And that helps in the fourth quarter. Not that he's the guy, that's where you're going to utilize his minutes. But when you get to the fourth quarter,
the payoff.
It's certainly the payoff that you get from having maybe just a little bit more juice in some of the legs.
Yeah, I think you could put Reed on Townsend stretches if you wanted to. And I think you could put Holland on Brunson. Those are the two best Knick players. And you could call them menace minutes, right? They're not out there to play anything more than a handful of minutes at a time. Just go be a menace. You're out there for defense. Hound people. Make them work. Yeah. Get a steal, a block, energy, a transition bucket.
And we know you pick up a couple of fouls.
Sure, who cares?
I don't care. Just make them worth it.
You got six.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Texter says, of course I want the Pistons to win. Of course I want the Lions to draft A+. Of course I want the Tigers to be a 600 baseball team in August. Bigger picture, Detroit sports are going buck wild right now. Everybody sit back and enjoy the ride. Kyle in Oxford.
Three of the four are, yeah.
Yes.
So close.
Is Edgerman going to do a postseason press conference? Find out.
It's only Thursday.
I know.
It's another day.
It's been a week since the season ended.
Well, Montreal's down 0-2 to the Caps, so the joke's on them.
Yeah, exactly. What good did it make Montreal to make the playoffs? They're not built for a cup anyway. All right, we'll get to the NFL draft.
Just quick, can I counter that?
Yes.
The Capitals last year made it in, got exposed in the first round, but that experience has now made them the one seed in the East.
Yeah, we were being sarcastic.
I am.
Okay.
Steve, by the way? Usually you do offseason.
Yeah, and he normally does, and he gives a pretty long, candid response after the season. I don't know if things have changed. We'll get to the draft in the 7 o'clock hour, the two Grand Slam at 7:25, Cookie Jar at 7:35. It's 97.1.